Part 3, Germany, between 1914 and 1924. After World War I, also known as the Great War, Germany dethroned their Kaiser and became a democracy for a short period of time. This Weimar Republic began in 1919 and lasted until 1933, when Adolf Hitler rose to power by proclaiming himself Führer of the new National Socialist German Workers' Party, or the Nazis. In 1914, Germany funded World War I by abandoning the gold standard for their currency and issuing war bonds to the German people. At the time, they believed the war would only last a few months. Instead, it lasted 4 years. Money was printed to pay for the war, municipality expenses, and loans for industries. Shortly after the United States entered the war in 1917, Germany surrendered. The Treaty of Versailles imposed several severe reparations on Germany to repay Allied war expenses. Prior to the war, the German mark was valued at 20 to 1 against the Great British Pound, GBP, and 4.2 to 1 against the United States dollar, USD. By the end of the war in November 1918, the mark was valued at 43 to 1 GBP and 5.11 to 1 USD. By the time the Treaty of Versailles was signed in June of 1919, the mark was 60 to 1 GBP. And by December of 1919, the mark had hyperinflated to 185 to 1 GBP. But this was only the beginning. Many factors contributed to Germany's hyperinflation after the Great War, including civil unrest, forced resignations and/or assassination of government leaders, the French invasion of the industrial region along the Ruhr River in western Germany, as well as other economic and social issues. During all of this upheaval, the government continued to print money, and hyperinflation worsened. The effects on the German people were a devastating loss of wealth, homelessness, and death by starvation. Prior to the war, an egg in Germany cost 4 Pfennigs, about 4 cents. By May 1922, that same egg had risen to 7.4 marks, and by early 1923, the price of an egg had skyrocketed to 800 marks. And in May of 1923, its cost was 2,400 marks. Later that year, a liter, or just over a quart of milk, increased from 1,800 to 3,800 marks. A kilo of flour, or 2.2 pounds, went from 2,400 to 6,600 marks. And a kilo of pork went from 10,400 to 32,000 marks. Wages doubled during this time, but the price of goods had almost tripled. During this post-war inflation and subsequent hyperinflation, the middle and privileged classes lost most of their wealth and felt the effects even before the working class did. One reason is that the German government continued to subsidize the working class, especially those returning from war. As prices increased, the government increased wage and pension subsidies to keep up. These increases caused Germany's government to print more money. Many in the middle and privileged classes had professions with fixed salaries or lived off their investments. Thus, when prices for goods increased, they were unable to keep up with the cost of living. Much of their tangible wealth was sold or traded for food. Those who lived on fixed incomes not subsidized by the government starved or froze to death from their inability to purchase food or coal to keep themselves warm in the winter months. Income that was meant to live on comfortably through retirement dried up fast, as the cost of living spiraled out of control. In 1913, 15% of the wealth of German people was in investment income, such as government bonds, rather than earned wages. By 1923, that number fell to 3%. Trying to stay ahead of price increases became a full-time occupation. As soon as workers got paid, they would immediately go to the market to purchase what they could, knowing that within hours, the prices would increase again. Farmers who grew food and had livestock, those with gardens, and those who exchanged their marks for foreign currency, including the USD, the franc, or the German or the British pound, were able to weather the hyperinflation turmoil. Those who exchanged their German marks to a foreign currency and then changed back again the next day made a fast profit because the price of the mark fell so quickly. The changing of marks to a foreign currency was done on a regular basis in order to try to stay ahead of the decreasing value of the mark. The government tried to stop this practice, but German citizens did not listen. Instead, they used the black market to exchange currencies. Interestingly, those who had fixed payment debts, such as mortgages and rent, fared well because the decreased currency value actually decreased their debt, making it easier to pay. However, only a few were at an advantage in this way. Creditors, savers, and investors had significant declines in income. The majority of Germans suffered financially during this time. In about July of 1922, the German economy hurtled into hyperinflation. Prices began rising by about 50% every month. Because the mark depreciated so rapidly, the Reichsbank, the German central bank, started printing larger denominations of money, from the 100,000 mark to the 1 million mark, and finally 12 zeros were added. Prior to this, Germans had to carry sacks of large baskets to hold their currency. The Manchester Guardian reported the following story. There is a current story in Berlin of a woman who went shopping with a basket to carry her paper money. She put it down for a minute and, on looking around, found that the basket had been stolen, but the paper money left behind. Doctors, dentists, and other professionals demanded payment in food or other currency rather than the mark. Businesses that contracted work to be paid upon completion suffered because between the price quote and the worst completion, it often ended up costing more to produce a product than what they received in salary. This made it nearly impossible for businesses to keep up with pricing. As a result, many shut their doors. One woman survived in 1923 at the height of Germany's hyperinflation, put it this way. I offered her lard at 12 billion to the pound, and she jumped at it. I found out afterwards that lard had gone up that afternoon from 12 to 16.5 billion, but I had bought a quantity of lard at 8 billion some time ago. That is my best latest device. When I have marks that I want to dispose of quickly, I invest them in edibles of a durable nature. This is the most stable form of circulating medium. I can pay my library subscriptions in rice or dried plums and my dentist bills in condensed milk. Eggs, too, are greedily accepted. But for ordinary shopping, this kind of specie has its drawbacks. Even when you take your perambulator, the measuring machine, with you as your purse. The drawback she is referring to is the inability to access or assess the actual price of a commodity upon purchase. Finally, in November of 1923, Rentenbank, a new central bank, was created to replace the Reichsbank. Germany then created the Renten currency. For a while, both currencies circulated simultaneously. The valuation of the Renton mark was set at 4.2 trillion mark to 1 USD and 18 trillion mark to 1 GBP. 1 trillion paper marks equal 1 Renton mark, thus removing the 12 zeros. War bond values were reduced from 154 billion marks to 15.4 peffings. Germany's post-war debt was wiped out, and Germans who invested heavily in war bonds lost everything. In effect, this was a currency reset. The Cyprus experiment. Cyprus is a Mediterranean island nation that belongs to the EU. Around 2012, several EU member nations faced financial problems, including Greece, Spain, Italy, and Cyprus. All of them turned to the EU for assistance, and the EU helped them all. Cyprus was unique, however, because it was used as a testing ground and was the only country where those who held accounts in Cyprus banks were required to help bail out the banks in that country. This approach became known as the bail-in rescue plan. As part of this plan, up to 37.5% of deposits were converted into Class A shares of stock, while about 22.5% of deposits were temporarily frozen. Thus, someone with 100,000 euros in the Bank of Cyprus had 37,500 euros converted to stock and another 22,500 euros temporarily frozen, leaving the person with an available balance of about 40,000 euros. In addition, the Bank of Cyprus limited daily withdrawals to about 300 euros. The effect on the depositors was a change in behavior due to the lack of confidence in the banks. Deposits in Cyprus banks decreased as people held onto their cash. Even those who were not adversely affected by the bail-in withdrew money and increased their cash holdings as a result of this experiment. One key takeaway is that as a result of Cyprus' success in dealing with their financial crisis, the EU, Canada, and the United States formalized the Cyprus approach into laws requiring bail-in options in their own nations. This means that what happened in Cyprus with individual accounts could happen in America as well. A significant factor to note regarding Cyprus is that the majority of their depositors were not Cyprus citizens. This may be why the tiny nation was chosen for the experiment. Protests were ongoing during this time of economic transition, but to my knowledge, not long-lasting violence erupted.